Random thought. What's the worst love advice that you've ever gotten?
I'm glad I learned this lesson early in life. This was in college. And the lesson I learned is never take dating advice from somebody who's not out dating. If someone's in a relationship, they're married, don't get dating advice from them. Only get dating advice from people who are dating, because those people are experimenting and they're like getting you
to
try
stuff. I know why you say this.
To see if it works. So the advice I got was from a good friend of a mutual friend of ours. We'll just call him John. And there was this girl that I was into, and he was like, "Tara, what you got to do is this. Like, don't try to sleep with her. What you want to do is, if y'all start, you know, getting hot and heavy, you tell her, hey, I don't think we're ready for this, and slow everything down. And then when she leaves, she's going to like you even more." Well, I was like, hey, that sounds like some wise advice. I should try that. Yeah, that backfired hardcore, because I did that. I'm like, hey, I don't think we're ready yet. And she was just like, okay. And she was gone. Never to see me again. So.
If I remember correctly, the next time you saw her, we were going to an apartment party and she was walking in with some other dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I guess he didn't tell her they weren't ready. He was ready. So she moved on with him. So that was my lesson there. And when I told him, he laughed. He was like, oh. And I'm just like, so I get it. People in relationships want to give dating advice to people to try some stuff to see if it works, because they're not out dating. So worst advice I ever received.
Yo, I always think about that one, because that was so funny. Like, why would you listen to him? Why?
Because he was so right about a lot of other things. Like, we looked up to him.
He
so
was.
I was like, hey, maybe, you know, he's right. Let me try this. This could be something. And yeah, lesson learned. Don't listen or take dating advice from people who are not dating. Just like married people, don't take relationship advice from single people.
Worst advice I think I ever got was, and you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you hear it and they'll say, you know, only marry somebody that loves you more than you love them, or date somebody who loves you more than you love them. I'm like, that's horrible advice. I knew that then and I know it now. I'm like, so you want somebody who is more into you than you're into them? No, I think you should be equally yoked. And I don't think there should be a comparison of love, like, and lust. It should be, this works, right? And this is my person. But yeah, I always think that's bad advice. So if anybody's giving you that advice right now, run. Don't fall into that one.
They're telling you to date a puppy. That's what they're telling you to do. date a puppy. They will love you way more than you love them.
So. I don't know. The way some of these folks are kissing their dogs in the mouth, got them all up in the bed, you know, all this other stuff, feeding them off their forks and all this other. Some of these people love their dogs more than the dog loves them. So maybe the dog got that advice too. And it's like, yo, seriously, get you a master that you can master, because they love you more than you love them. And you can piss on their bed if you want. They'll be fine. They'll just go, oh my God, don't do that again.
No, just get a puppy. Don't get in a relationship. Get a dog. That's what that advice is.
Oh my God. Welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, kind of like this one. Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yeah, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, episode 86. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave us comments.
You know, the college world exploded this weekend as Nick Saban, you know, the czar, the recent czar of college football, just came out and said a lot of stuff. There's been a lot of stuff going on around this name, image, and likeness, these NIL deals that college athletes are getting, which some people say it's a great thing because college athletes are finally able to benefit financially because they make these universities billions of dollars. And he came out saying that the only reason that his recruiting class was number two was because Texas A&M, I know one of your favorite universities since you're a Longhorn fan. I know A&M is one of your favorite universities. They cheated and they offered everybody NIL deals, and that's the only way they had the number one recruiting class. And then, just to make sure we don't leave everybody else out, he also threw in Jackson State, saying that Deion Sanders promised to play Hunter $1 million, and that's why he signed with him instead of signing with a Power Five team?
I don't know. You know, I didn't see these contracts, so I don't know if that's true or not. I saw the one about the player that's transferring from Pitt to USC, mm-hmm. that he might get, what, $3.25 million? And I'm like this, if that's what it – this was the challenge, and we talked about this before about paying college athletes. Mm-hmm. I think if you do it, you can, but the problem is you're not going to have – these local no-name schools, you know, you think about basketball, mm-hmm. you won't have a Butler ever again,
right,
in the Final Four, you know, mm-hmm. because you're not going to be able to have the talent. So if that's the new game, figure out a way to play within it. Alabama has tons of money, so you can't tell me you can't. Now, Texas A&M has oil money, and that's mm-hmm. the difference, is that A&M could probably outspend an Alabama because mm-hmm. of all the oil money from the alums they have. So get over it. Now you got a coach, you know, and then listen to Jimbo Fisher talk trash about Nick Saban and say he cheats and all that. I'm like, all y'all cheat. Like, everybody does it. If not cheating, you're not trying.
The thing about it is, like, and Deion Sanders said, because he was on the I Am Athlete podcast, I think Friday. And one of the things he was saying was like, look, Nick Saban wasn't talking to us. We're just pawns in his game, because he's speaking to his boosters saying, hey, y'all need to up the ante just a little bit, because we're getting our ass kicked out here. What Jimbo Fisher was saying when he's like, look, do you really want us to dig up your past? It's like, Nick Saban, you did not come from losing almost every single game in the NFL to go to Alabama that wasn't winning. And everybody goes, you know what? We want to go play for that guy. You weren't winning in the NFL. So why would they automatically go, well, yes, that's the guy we want to go play for? No. You know, there's some underhanded deals that you guys made. And, you know, oh, mama, what does Shannon Sharp say? Oh, mama needs a new microwave. So they give a microwave, and then they build a house around that microwave. I was like, that is such, the way he put that was, you know, Shannon Sharp is not the biggest wordsmith ever, but that was amazing.
That's hilarious.
it's crazy to me, though, that he tried to single out Deion Sanders, especially in that, you know, and of course people go, well, what's going to happen on the set of the Aflac commercials for next season? Here's the thing about this. Deion Sanders already spoke about this. When Florida State had a problem with him getting Hunter from them, he's like, look, y'all didn't have a problem when I was doing it for you. When I'm recruiting for you, you have no problem. Why is it a problem now that I'm recruiting for me? I'm a coach and I'm recruiting. I'm going to recruit for me. Why is that a problem? And the fact of the matter is, you and I talked about this before. Hunter's a DB. If he wants to be an elite cornerback in the NFL, who better to learn from than Deion Sanders, than right. prime time? It makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, it totally does. You know, and again, it's a new day, I guess, in college football and college recruiting. So, Nick Saban, step your game up. Get your boosters mm-hmm. to spend some more money. But it is what it is. I'm curious to see what the retention rate is going to be for players. Are they going to still do 2 years and be out? Or are they actually going to stay now that they're getting paid? Will they stay the extra 2 years?
But it's 3 years in football, in college football, 3 years.
I thought it was 2 in college football. 1 year in basketball, I thought it was 2 in college football.
No, because I think you got to finish your junior year. So, like, even the guy that's going to USC from Pitt, he's going to be a sophomore. So, he still has 2 years left. He's got sophomore year and then junior year.
Well, I wonder, are people going to stay and graduate now right. they're getting paid and still, you know, sharpen their skills before they go to the combine? Or yep. are people still going to, I got my $3 million, but now I'm ready to go for my $50 million, you know, if I'm a first-round draft pick?
Here's the problem with that, though, because even like take versus Juju Smith-Schuster, who just left Pittsburgh and went to the Chiefs, he may get, if he hits all of his bonuses, $3.25 million. Mm-hmm. So if it's true about this Pitt wide receiver that he's getting $3 million, the rookie wide receivers in the NFL are not making $3 million a year, right? Mm-hmm. So at the same time, it's like, oh, so you're going to get paid more in college? I know they made jokes about Joe McKnight when he went to the NFL, and they're like, yeah, so he's just mad because he had to take a pay cut when he left USC. but now it'll be more realistic. I think it needs to be regulated. They need to put caps on what they make anyway, right? Because now you can at least spread that wealth across a lot more athletes with the name and image likeness, and not make it where somebody's making $10 million a year in college football. Because at the end of the day, then they'll be taking a pay cut going to the NFL. But at the same time, maybe the NFL needs to up their money. But at the same time, it does make it a lot more lopsided and becomes this whole I wouldn't say pay for play, because you do need to pay these guys. They put their mm-hmm. bodies on the line all the time. But regulate it, make it fair, and fair to the point that it's not. If the max is a million that anybody makes in a year, then so be it. And if the minimum is 50 grand, then make it that. Whatever it is, you make it what it is, and let's set some rules. And I think that's what some of these coaches are asking for, and I agree with that. But at the same time, Nick Saban, you live in a glass house with a glass table, a glass recliner. Stop throwing stones, because your shit can come crumbling down real quick.
It'll be interesting, but he's not going to fall no matter what he's done in the past. No one gives a shit. You know, he's still going to, I mean, there's nothing that's going to happen to him. Whatever these coaches might come up with, it's not all of a sudden he's going to be banned. I mean, unless he's did some Joe Paterno kind of look the other way stuff. Other than that, no one's going to say anything.
Hey, I don't put anything past anybody.
Yeah.
The one thing I may put past is you agreeing with me on this, or finding a little glimpse of positivity in this next clip, right? So got this clip, saw this. So David Letterman is back with his, my next guest needs no introduction. And one of his guests on this season is your favorite rapper, mm-hmm. Specifically your favorite female rapper, mm-hmm. Cardi B.
Not my favorite at all. I don't listen to Cardi B.
And well, listen to what she had to say when she was on there.
Mm-hmm. I don't really put a lot of political things in my music, but I use the fuck out of my platform. And I have used my platform even when I was a dancer, because you might think that people are not looking, but they are. I'm a hood chick and I'm from the Bronx. And a lot of people relate to me and follow me because they want to see how I'm dressed. They want to see my lifestyle. So I feel like I have a responsibility to also share to them, like, hey, while you're here and you're checking my outfit and you're checking my music, check out what's going on over here. And this part of the world.
Does this change your mind? Because you've always been big about, you didn't even let me get the question out. I mean, you're big on not on artists not speaking on politics in any shape or form. Do you kind of get what she's saying in this sense, though?
I'm not against artists speaking out on politics if you're educated about the issues and you can speak to it articulately. Mm-hmm. Great. There are a lot of artists who are very political. I mean, look at Killer Mike. I mean, Killer Mike, I love listening to Killer Mike speak, but he does his research. He understands the full issue. Cardi B, on the other hand, again, I don't like Cardi B, not because of her music. It's because that she openly said she would drug dudes that took them back to her house. She would steal their money and then leave. If any male stripper did that, Channing Tatum, he would have been canceled. But Cardi B gets a pass. And so, nope, I'm going to be consistent in my stances on people. So that's why I don't like Cardi B. Now, for her to talk politics and all that, if she's being articulate about the issues and really can explain it to some of the people who listen to her, great. But I would not get any political advice from Cardi B. You know, I wouldn't.
I don't think she's giving political advice, but more drawing attention to the issues, which I think she's right in this sense, right? I've got a platform. I've got people who are following me. They're not following me for politics, but hey, while I have your attention, and this is what, here's why this really struck home for me, right? I remember when I got to Charleston and ended up being number one in all my demographics, right? You know, and I'm telling my granddad, because I'm third generation radio and TV, right? My granddad is like, I tell him, hey, I'm number one. He's like, great. And instead of just, you know, well, congratulations, he's like, no. Now that you have their attention, what are you teaching them? And I think it's that stuck with me. And it's that point. If you have people's attention, now what are you doing to help them in the long run? Yes, you can keep entertaining them, but what are you doing in the long run, right? And the thing that I think for her is like, oh, this is going on and nobody's paying attention. I have your attention. I speak, you'll speak. You listen when I speak. Well, here, I'm going to drop in a little bit of this while we're at it.
Okay. I still don't see it that way, because she told David Letterman, I'm a hoochie, and da da da. And so I'm like, oh, great.
She didn't say hoochie. She said hood chick.
Oh, she said hood chick. I thought she said hoochie. Okay.
You just hear what you want to hear when it comes to Cardi.
So if she said hood chick, if there's a bunch of other hood chicks that follow her and they're going to all of a sudden get enlightened on politics, great job, Cardi B. But mm-hmm. I think it's kind of hard to enlighten people with my platform as well as WAP. I think it's just different. But if it works and there are people who get educated, great. All I'm saying is I would not go to Cardi B for anything other than a music and a beat. I don't think I would get anything else from her.
You are not one way all the time. I know you, and you are not one way all the time. So why is it, why are you so opposed to her WAP and pop for politics?
Just saying, it's just certain people I would not get advice from. Or even, you know, if she's like, hey, Terrell, you know, let me tell you about Bitcoin, but let me stop you right there, Cardi. You go do your thing. If it works for you, awesome. I'm all stocked up. I'll talk to someone else. But I'm not going to get that from her. You know, so if she's using her platform to educate people on politics, great. I'd rather her use her, and again, it's her platform. She can do whatever she wants with it. But I'd rather, to your point, and now that you got their attention, why not teach people to stop being hood chicks? Because that's not a positive thing. That's not something you brag about. Now, I'm a hood chick, and I think people who do brag about that being a positive
that's the part I think that you're missing here. I think in her sense, it's like, this is where I'm from. She's elevated. If you look at Cardi now from Cardi 5 years ago, big difference.
Before she
Cardi
started drugging dudes? Ago, big difference. Or after she started drugging dudes?
Now, Cardi, obviously, one thing she has not done, she's not stopped, is responding to comments. And I think in those moments when she's making her, she came back and even addressed it later and said, yeah, that's something I did back then. And you act as if at some point it's not, people do this. And they grow from
it. No, because in the male side, we don't get a pass for our past. We don't get a pass for doing. We don't get a pass for doing that.
What have you done that you're worried is going to?
Saying that I'm not going to give her a pass, just like I'm not going to give anyone else a pass. You know, Bill Cosby. Don't listen to Bill Cosby. Don't listen to R. Kelly. Like once I find out what you've done, I don't care all the positive you've done afterwards. I can't let that go. What she did. If a man did that same thing 10 years ago, he'd be canceled today. And so I hold that. And so I won't support Cardi B ever.
We noticed.
Yeah. I thought I did that, but that was back then. That's bullshit. Because if a man did it, he would be done. So I think if you want equality, then you have to deal with things the same way that we would have to deal with it. So I think that's only fair.
Are you saying people don't change?
Okay, Bill Cosby changed because he got too old to drug chicks.
Are you sure?
And sleep with them. But
are you sure?
Could you say he changed? He did a lot of positives, but do we let that stuff go? I won't. So, no. And I'm not saying she's drugging dudes now, but the fact that she did it and it's okay, I call bullshit on that. I will never support that. If a man did that exact same thing, you should be dealing with the exact same stuff. Look at the teachers that we kept calling out when the pandemic started that were hooking up with kids. Right. Mm-hmm. Female teachers hook up with kids. Everyone's kind of like, male teacher does it. Oh, bury him under the jail. So to me, I will never support Cardi B. Wish her well. Do her thing with her hood chick platform. I will never support her, though.
I hear you.
It's whatever.
I'm just saying.
I know I'm going to get hit in the comments. People are like, you know, you should. I'm like, hey, that's fine. You're not going to change my mind on Cardi B.
She's just trying to help her followers out. Get them educated on a couple of things.
Oh, that's great. If she's doing great things to help hood chicks, awesome. But I won't support anything.
Wouldn't this world be a better place with less hood chicks?
I would think it would be. But there are people out there who like hood chicks. I don't.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I'm a little bougie. I don't like hood chicks. But there are people out there that like hood chicks.
Oh, my God. Look, we got this one from rgrtpod@gmail.com. And this is definitely some bullshit. And luckily, it didn't happen anywhere where you are or where I am. Happened in Vancouver, where an Arby's manager admitted to at least twice urinating in the milkshake mix. And how he got caught was kind of crazy. Because there was a picture. He was being investigated for child pornography, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of him urinating anything. He said, oh, yeah, I did it at least twice. And then says, well, I think the last time I did change out the mix, I threw that mix away. So he may not have. And it was all for sexual gratification while he peed in the milkshake mix. Now, I don't know what kink that is. And I don't want to know. But I'm really second guessing milkshakes from here on.
I know everybody has their kink. How does that turn you on? I just don't see how that turns you on.
Like, it's the cold as I get hot.
Yeah. Look at them drinking me. Look at that. Take me in. Take me. It's just weird. That's a weird fetish. And now I'm wondering also, how did the milkshake story? So in my mind, I see him getting detectives talking to him, and they first start talking about child pornography. Then they come across this. And so to try to get out of the child pornography, he's like, well, no, I didn't do that. Now this, yes, I did pee in the bag of the milk. Yeah. You know, but no, children, no, I didn't do that. So I wonder if that's how he did that. But I don't see how that's a
how kink. About you get me on this, not that.
Yeah. I don't see how that's a kink. I mean, even all the years I worked at Sonic, I never thought to pee in the slush machine or pee in the ice cream machine. Who thinks this stuff up? It's weird.
And this might, he may have just solved the case for everybody trying to figure out, why is the McDonald's ice cream machine always broke? I think we know why. This guy used to work there.
Well, you know, I think for some of these places, because I mean, Arby's, I really don't go to Arby's. I haven't been to Arby's since I was like a kid, right? And I know that they got the meats. I just never think about Arby's. But just think about all these different.
Say that again. They got the what?
They got the meats. think sorry, about all these fast food places. Like, what if the pee is what made people come back for the shakes often? Like, what if they're putting something on stuff like the Popeye's chicken sandwich? If that was laced with a little bit of heroin, I would believe it because the sandwich is amazing. And people have gotten into fights over that sandwich. So I'm just wondering, like, maybe these restaurants are doing a little something, something. When they want to move product, put a little this in there.
Let's see what happens if we add this. Oh my God, no! Please don't do that. Well, you know what? Here's the great. It's fine. You can say that all you want because I don't eat out very often, so I'm perfectly fine. But it's also the same reason why I don't send shit back.
I was about to say that's what she said, but I was.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, we've turned into
12. Go ahead. You don't eat out often. Go ahead.
I do not go out to eat. Okay. And, you know, because one, it's just, but that's just, I'm not one of those people who sends food back when I'm out either, right?
Yeah.
For that reason of you never know. I've heard all the horror stories. I've never worked in fast food. I've never worked in the restaurant. I had a bar once. But you know, that was a quick turnaround stuff, right? But I've never had to work in the back, but I've heard the horror stories. None of them came from you, but I've heard a lot of horror stories. Just want to make that clear. And none of them came from you, but a lot of horror stories about stuff that people did in the back. And that's why I never send food back.
Yeah,
and I mean, then hearing this story makes me go, I don't even want to go through the drive-thru anymore.
Well, I mean, that's why you don't really go to an Arby's, but, you know, but bad. Don't get those shakes. They're bad for you. It's bad sugar.
Yeah, well, so is Starbucks.
Yeah.
This is another story.
That's how you get, the beatus.
Oh, man. You don't have any fast food horror stories?
No, not at all. I mean, I think all the years I worked in fast food, we didn't do anything. There was times like maybe the chicken sandwich wasn't cooked all the way. And so the customer comes in like because they're mad because they bit into raw chicken. I totally get that. You know,
totally get that.
But other than that, on my watch, we didn't do anything crazy. Now, I'll admit what I did do when I was a manager at Sonic was we drank at the job. We were putting vodka in the slushes.
Statute of limitations is up, right?
Yeah, put vodka in the slushes and just kind of just, you know, have a little happy slush just to get through the shift. But I've not experienced or seen anybody, you know, try to do anything bad to people's food. And even, and even in the restaurant industry, in casual dining, when people brought food back, to me, I didn't get mad about it. I'm like, you're right. This was cold. Or this is this, you know, just like you're absolutely right. Like you should bring it back. But no, I think people that do that, there's just certain people who should never work in the service industry.
Now that we can agree on.
Should never and do I will it. Say it's not for you and you just shouldn't do it. But, you know, in the climate we're in, everybody has to hire people. So it is what it is.
I don't think anybody would actually blame you for having a drink on the job, especially working in fast food back then, just because, one, you were in your 20s. Two, dealing with those customers and, you know, people who believe the customer is always right when we know they're not. I get it. Sometimes you just need to take the edge off.
Yeah.
You have to take the edge off.
Yeah. That's why I can't do it anymore. Like, I can't do customer service jobs because I don't have the patience. After about,
we know.
Yeah, I don't have the patience anymore for that, to deal with customers or whatever. I just couldn't do it. So
you're now the grumpy old man, or like somebody said, we need to be calling the two grumpy old men podcast.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. You stay off my lawn too, damn it, while we're at it.
Oh my God. Hey, don't forget, Wednesday, we are back with Married at First Sight reunion. Part two recap. Can't believe they actually made two parts of this. And then we have got another week after this week of it, because Where Are They Now is going to be next week. Then Sunday, of course, back with 90 Day Fiancé. If you missed the one from this week, you can check it out. It's up right now. And then, of course, on Mondays, audio podcast for the regular, and then video for on new blah, blah. And then on Tuesdays, we drop the video on YouTube.
Yeah, can't wait for Married at First Sight to be done.
Tell us how you really feel.
Can't wait for it to be done. And I'm not doing season 15. They're ridiculous. You know, a three-hour premiere, two-hour episodes, you know, four-hour reunion. No, not doing that. I mean, I just people commented. I'm just like, no, it's not happening. I'm not. Yanni can do season 15 by himself.
There's a hack. We'll work the hack out for y'all.
No.
He's going to do it.
Nope.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, be sure to send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.